Chris.
Marcus.
We are back. It's a little pocket awareness. You guys already know what to do. Follow us on Twitter, ALPA underscore QB1. Follow us on Instagram, ALPA underscore QB1. Follow us on, hit the like button on Facebook, a little pocket awareness. Go ahead and hit the subscribe button on iTunes. I saw we got a review the other day. I don't know if you saw that, Chris.
I did not. What did he say? We got a review.
I didn't read it. It said it was a five. You didn't
read it?
I didn't read it. We got a review.
Oh, come on. I got distracted, Marcus.
It's all right. It's all right.
You got me all excited. I wanted to see the review.
All right. So now we're going to talk about the playoffs, divisional round.
Do we have to?
We had fake excitement on Twitter the first day, and then the second day we had actually exciting games. We had the first day we had games that we tried to make exciting in our head because of who the quarterbacks are, and then the second game we actually got those exciting games that they really thought were actually quarterback games. It's interesting. They're from quarterbacks who are older and played more in the playoffs. Interesting. But anyways, Chris, we know how you feel. Packers, disappointing. They're killing your boy, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah. They're going at him hard.
They're going at him. I mean, he brought the heat on himself, kind of. But your boy Aaron's getting killed. For his performance, not beating Jimmy Garoppolo, who is
who literally did nothing.
He literally did nothing.
That offense did zero. They won a game without playing offense, Marcus.
I know, bro. That's the thing. Like they're killing Aaron for a block punt, basically.
Oh, don't forget the block field goal. Don't forget the block field goal
and a block punt. Yeah.
Block field goal and a block punt.
Special teams, man. Don't forget it. Defense and special teams, Chris. It's a missing part of the game. You know?
The defense wasn't missing for the Packers. That's for absolute
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's cool. You stop the run. If you can stop the run of the Niners, which the Packers are pretty good at. I mean, if you stop the run, they got Jimmy Garoppolo back there. He's a little limited. He threw
that interception right at the goal line. You see that inside the red zone? Threw that interception.
Yeah, because he throw the ball away, Jimmy. Like I don't understand it. Like I saw some stat. He has like 1.3% of his passes are throwaways, and the average is 3.3. I'm like, Jimmy, you are not a superstar.
Well, Marcus, also a perfect opportunity for all the people that come after you with screenshots of wide open wide receivers. Did you see the screenshot of Kittle running wide open, calling for the football? Oh, throw me the ball.
Yeah.
Guess what? He threw you the ball. Guess what happened? It got intercepted. So screenshots are not a good interpretation of an open wide receiver or not.
Exactly. So, I mean, we're already talking about this game. I guess we could talk about this game first because we're already kind of getting into it. But since it's your team, we can already start this game. So it's 13-10, 49ers in the snow. They go into Green Bay. Rodgers still can't beat the Niners. He still can't beat the Niners. I don't understand it. I don't understand. It is. Let me ask you, Chris, as a Packers fan, is Rodgers bad in the playoffs?
No, he's not bad in the playoffs.
Okay.
He's not bad in the playoffs because he's done some pretty amazing things in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. In the games that the Packers have lost in the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers as a starting quarterback, this was the first game that the defense allowed less than 30 points.
Wow.
This is the first game that when Aaron Rodgers does get that comeback and tie it up, he's not allowed back on the field because of overtime rules. So can I put some of this loss on him? I absolutely will, because that third down play where he just chucked it deep into double coverage to Davante Adams.
See,
Alan Lazard was wide open on the dig. He was wide open for a first down. Rodgers predetermined that throw. He had plenty of time in the pocket. He made a decision pre-snap where he was going on that one. he really, if he would have paid attention to what was going on the field and been that the real Aaron Rodgers, he would. I mean, Lazard was so wide open, and Aaron Rodgers is special with the way that he can see the field. His vision is incredible under pressure, and there was no pressure on that play. He was he had all day back there on that third down. He got back in his drop, and he just made the decision, I'm going to my boy. So that's the play that I'm most upset at Aaron Rodgers on. Other than that, I mean, you could say he really didn't target a lot of his other options. No, I don't know. I've stayed away from social media the best that I can. I've stayed away from – I haven't watched a single – sports TV show all week long on purpose.
Okay.
Twitter's basically been where I've gotten any of my information about how the game went and about the press conferences that they had over the course of this week. You know, I'm still I'm still early in my grieving process, Marcus. I'm not anywhere close to accepting what has happened here.
You know what's interesting to me? Because I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers' playoff stats here. And, man, like the average quarterback is like barely 500 in the playoffs. Like every quarterback, like every great one, like has like a 9-8 record or like a 13-10. Or like I'm looking at Ben Roethlisberger, 13-10. Russell Wilson is – he's 9-7. Steve Young is 8-6. Like it's just the average quarterback – it's hard to hell to win. And it's like we act like playoff wins are just like these normal thing that everybody just does. And you see all these guys.
Well, and then you get one and you get praised through the roof. We'll talk about that in games that we're gonna discuss.
You know, like Dave Rito's 8-10, but he has 18 starts. You know what I mean? Like he's been there. He's been there 10 times. I mean, he just like it goes to show, you know, because I mean let's keep it real. Chris, I mean, we talk about point differential. I mean, we ignore it during the season. But, I mean, I don't think the Packers just weren't a Super Bowl team this year. I mean, it's probably basically what it is. I mean, nothing to do with the quarterback plays or how he plays.
Marcus, that it came down to one of the facets of the game. There's three parts of the game. There's offense, there's defense, there's special teams. And John Kuhn went on to Twitter and broke down the two blocks. And if you have an opportunity, go check it out. He puts a thread together on the block field goal before half and the block punt. And he didn't even do anything but look at the how the formation was set up for the block field goal. The wing back, his alignment just at the beginning of the ball wasn't even snapped and he was in the wrong place. He was lined up incorrectly and that essentially freed that opportunity for that hole for a block just based off of his alignment at the line of scrimmage. For the punt, it's quite literally like with punts, the reason that you see the defense on special teams for punts jumping around as much as they do is because the offense on special teams, the punting team, are quite literally counting guys on one shoulder of the long snapper and then on the other shoulder of the long snapper. So they jump around the way that they do on the return team because they're trying to get the count off so that they can get a guy in to make the stop. And the Niners weren't even bouncing around that much on that punt that they blocked. It's mental errors across the board. And it was just consistent all season long for the Packers and special teams.
All right, Chris. So I got some other thoughts for you here. You know, I think a lot of problem with Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs. You know, I talked to you about this before. I have in the playoffs is that, you know, he's a little bit of a front runner. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he only has 18 game winning fourth quarter comebacks. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was that low. He's a little bit of a front runner.
Yeah.
So when he gets down, right, can he bring you back? Like I went back and I looked at the Giants game from 2011. Right, they're an unstoppable looking team. Like we all thought, they're going to Super Bowl. They back to back. It was like we all assumed it. at that point. The Giants are going to Lambeau and beat this team. You know, that's what we all thought. But what happened in that game is that, like, and I'm looking at the box because I'm watching. I'm just like, look at the play-by-play. I'm just watching it. And it was 20-13 for, like, a little while. You know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. It was just – like, he just couldn't get them over, like, back in the game. And one of the things – that the reason for that, which I think is interesting, which I'm looking at this right now, Chris, is I think that, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions, right? It's like his biggest thing. You know, he threw 4 this year. I think he's a little risk averse. And I think that hurts him in the playoffs. Like, he doesn't take as much chances as the next quarterback because he's so smart. And I think that's why he can't, like, pull out these playoff games sometimes. Because... it sounds crazy.
No. I know what you're talking about because that was a big issue that I had in that last season for Mike McCarthy where he led the league in throwaways. He flat out said he will make a very conscious decision to keep the ball and risky throws out of the middle of the field. He just won't do it.
He won't do it.
He just won't do it. And honestly, it's worked out 9 times out of 10, and that 10th time just so happens to be in the playoffs.
Because I look at this in the playoffs. So, and there's how many quarterbacks with 20 starts? It's just actually pretty incredible for him, actually. There's 7 quarterbacks with 20 or more starts in the playoffs. And he's one of them. So it's Tom Brady, Brett Favre, Ben Roethlisberger. Jesus, Chris, you've seen more than 40 playoff games.
Bro, I don't even want to, like, the...
You see 440 playoff games and got 1 Super Bowl.
I got two.
Two out of 40. How many starts?
Been in 3, saw 2 wins in my lifetime.
So because he had 2 in Minnesota. So, yeah, you've seen so it's 22 plus 20. So you've seen 43 playoff games in your lifetime, Chris.
And the majority of them end in heartbreak, bro.
I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like that's worse than me, like, seeing a barely any. You've seen 43. That is crazy. Anyways, but going back to my thought.
You know how, like, that's a conversation for another day, I think, where it's like, what hurts more? Your team not getting in there or having such high hopes on what is to come and it just – never playing out.
And you got 2 top 10 quarterbacks all time back to back.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Man. And they have a combined 2 Super Bowls. Both of them have 1.
This is going to be my point here because it's a total opposite. So let's just say, take out the 2 from the Vikings. I don't know how many interceptions he threw in those Vikings matchups, but I know he
did. I mean, I remember one of them because it cost them the game against the Saints. I remember that one.
So here's the doppelganger, right? So Brett Favre didn't win as many Super Bowls because he has a pass interception percentage, the highest one of anybody with 20 starts or more. And he has 30 interceptions. Okay. So he has 30 interceptions, right? Tom Brady has 23 more starts than Brett Favre and has 39. If that tells you anything. So Brett Favre threw too many, and then Aaron Rodgers, he has 13 interceptions. That's 8 less than John Elway, who has 1 more start. So that tells you that he is. So you have the guy who throws too many, and you guy who has the guy who doesn't take it enough chances, because he has clearly the highest rating. His rating is 101.1.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've seen it done both ways, Marcus, and I'll tell you what. It's heartbreaking both ways.
Because to me, I always talk about this. I still feel like the Aaron Rodgers, he should have brought them back last year against Tampa. There's, you got to do something. I know your line was bad, but, like, man, you got. Like,
I mean, you're talking about that example where the game kind of stalled against the Giants, right? Yeah, you were talking about the game stalled against the Buccaneers as well. We went punt, interception, punt, interception, punt.
He's got to take advantage of that. You know what I mean? Like, but he doesn't want to take a chance.
I don't know that it's all about taking the chance. I think, I mean, he flat out missed Lazard. He's just not, when he needs to be locked in, he just hasn't been lately. Even on the drive against Tampa Bay, when they went and LaFleur went for the field goal on fourth down, he had a touchdown to Devontae Adams and flat missed him on first down. On first down, they had a touchdown in that drive, and he missed him. So I don't think it's so much about taking the chances. It's just when the opportunity's there, it hasn't played out for the Packers.
See, to me, I don't think Aaron Rodgers misses people. He's so calculated and he's so smart. He's a processor. That's what I'm saying. That's why it's about taking
chances. Dude, he flat out missed. He didn't see Lazard. He flat out missed Devontae last year. And I don't even want to talk about the three pick sixes that got dropped against Jimmy G.
No, we'll get to Jimmy G in a second. But my last thought on Aaron Rodgers is, like, I think when Aaron Rodgers sees that guy open, he just doesn't like it for some reason. So I don't know. We don't know.
No, that ball was in the air way too quickly. He made a pre-snap decision.
I'm talking about the Adams one. I bet he sees that, but there's some reason he doesn't like it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking about, taking chances. Like, you think about, like, Derek Carr does this all the time. But, you know,
well, it's not just – I'll tell you what. It's all the quarterbacks in the NFL. We watched Dak give up on some intermediate and short routes because he wanted the big hit against the Niners.
Yeah.
Like, there were some open wide receivers. He had, like, tight ends and running backs open in the intermediate and the check down space, and he went – to the next level instead of taking what the defense was giving him. So it's these guys that are elite. They know that they're elite quarterbacks and they think that they should be able to make every single throw. So they'll pass on what they should be taking because they're looking for the next best thing. And I'm that good. I can pass on that and I'll find something else.
All right. Let's get to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah. Mr. What was that? 9 for 14, 109 yards with an interception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
What an incredible stat line to win a football game.
He is, you know, he is balling, bro. He's in the he's balling. Dog. 2 out of 3 years, NFC Championship game. No, Chris, I'm rooting so hard. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm rooting so hard for him to win the Super Bowl. I want him to win it so bad. I just want the whole, you need an elite quarterback to do anything to exist in the NFL, to, like, just be shattered by Jimmy Garoppolo.
Shatter the narrative.
The media would not be able to explain it. They won't be able to explain it. They won't be able to explain why he won the Super Bowl. They won't be
because they beat him up. They absolutely beat him up on TV this week. And I only know that because of Twitter. Like, you see all the ESPN highlights and the conversations about Jimmy G.
Oh, man. And
they're just ripping the kid apart.
Yeah, they're
we haven't been the nicest to him either. I'm not saying that we're not a part of that conversation. We have not been very positive when it comes to Jimmy G.
Yeah.
And when we started the season out, we had a conversation about Trey Lance and Jimmy G. And Jimmy G, this is a 1-year, $20 million deal. And when we had that conversation at the beginning of the season, this is the last year, in my opinion, of Jimmy G in San Francisco, regardless of what happened.
What if he wins
now, the Super Bowl, though? If he wins the Super Bowl, that's a conversation for the Niners to figure out, and I'm very glad I'm not a fan of that team.
Because just imagine this. I mean, Jimmy G, he has, like, the highest winning percentage in clutch moments. Like, he's 9 of 10. He's 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10.
So, yeah, so out of 19, so out of 19 game-winning drive opportunities, he has 9. He's hit all 9 of them. So Jimmy is clutch. And I talk about that. People don't, like, you need an elite quarterback. No.
I gotta kind of, like, I hate that quarterback. I hate that stat sometimes, Marcus.
Yeah.
Because what did they do in that drive against Green Bay? How many balls did Jimmy Garoppolo throw on that game-winning drive?
I mean, does that count? I'm talking
not a single one, Marcus.
I'm talking about, like, game-winning drive. Doug.
That was a game-winning drive.
What about the Rams
credit for the game?
What about the Rams one that put him in the playoffs, though? He didn't run the ball.
That one, I'm not talking about that one.
That was a minute 25. That was just him throwing the football with the broken finger. Or what, whatever.
His finger was in way worse shape in that game. That's for damn sure. And I don't get that. Because I know for me, one of my biggest struggles was, if even if it was cold out, if my thumb locked up, Yeah. That ball slipped right out of my hands every single time. I couldn't imagine breaking and tearing ligaments in my finger and still being able to go. I've never experienced anything like that. I wouldn't even know what to say. All I can tell you is if my thumb locked up in the cold, it was over for me.
Yeah, and you know his problem is sometimes he thinks he's a playmaker because he's playing well against the Niners. He's playing well
against the Cowboys.
Yeah, Cowboys, I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And until he tried to roll out and throw it on a run. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're not wrong. He
started feeling himself a little bit.
Uh-huh.
No, just execute those choice routes, bro. Just execute. All he has to do is execute.
Literally. Well, he did it all season long and absolutely killed it.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, and be clutch. And they'll win. Because the Niners play good defense. The Rams are in trouble. I mean, we'll talk about that, at the end of the round, we did a little preview, but I think the Rams are in trouble. And that's why I'm rooting for him to win the Super Bowl. I really am. I can't wait. I really hope he's holding that trophy at the end. I really hope. You need an elite quarterback. The future. If you don't have Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert or Lamar Jackson, how will you win? You know that. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up. I hate that. Good Lord. Man. Anyways, but yeah. I mean, I just hope so. It's funny. It's actually funny when you talk about who's gonna be Patrick Mahomes' rival, right? And you know, who's the Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. And technically it would be Jimmy Garoppolo. He'd be the Tom Brady in this matchup. Like the guy who's not actually as talented as the actual super talented guy.
Oh, and then okay.
That would actually be the Tom Brady.
I see what you're saying. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Josh Allen's not Tom Brady, guys. Come on, that's not. You got to find a different comp.
You know,
we'll get to that game, but you know, I'll say this: we don't know if that's Dante Culpepper versus Peyton Manning yet. We don't know. You know,
bro.
We don't know yet. We don't know. But that's what I'm talking about. Like this whole, we're in that reactionary. Like society, mm-hmm. where everything's mm-hmm. a reaction. Mm-hmm. You got Twitter, we could just react.
Uh-huh.
We could put our reaction to something right away. You know what I mean? Like uh-huh. nobody thinks. Because Dante Culpepper was a bad. And he used to run people over, and he used to have like 10 touchdowns a game, 10 rushing touchdowns. He used to have 39 touchdowns and all over the place.
You know Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Just like Allen's got Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Went to the AFC Championship a couple times.
Yeah, they went to the NFC Championship game for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. Anyways, let's get to
I'm done. Game. I don't want to talk about the Packers anymore, Marcus. I'm not ready. I'm still in
the other game. The Bengals versus Titans.
Now, you want to talk about a quarterback that blew it for his team?
Oh my God,
Ryan Tannehill, he blew it.
See, it's tough to say,
blew three it. Interceptions, he blew it.
Yeah, but I mean,
he blew it.
One was tipped.
Doesn't matter.
It's a screen. One was a tipped screen.
Yeah, you spike that ball into the ground. You don't attempt that throw.
So two interceptions were on him. The interception to the tip. I mean, that's just unlucky. That's luck. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's lucky, but that's a part of the game. Like you. When you have a team that is just as dominant as they were running the football, like Foreman came in and he just took over the game. Like when Derrick Henry was missing on some snaps, Foreman came in and ran all over the Bengals. Like, get out of the way. You got to get out of the way as the quarterback. You got to manage it at that point. You cannot let anything happen. If you're thrown into traffic on a screen, are you serious? What are you pressing for? Your running game's working.
You got a point. I mean, yeah, and they're in field goal range, and you know the Bengals weren't really doing it.
Pump fake that ball. You're inside the 10-yard line. Pump fake that ball. Don't force it and have the defender tip it to himself like he did. Pump fake that ball. Get him to get up on his feet. He clearly jumped up. If you pump it, wait for him to go pass. Make another decision with the football. Eat it for crying out loud. Your running game just went 60 yards downfield and you decided to pass on first down for no reason. Let your running back get you the touchdown.
Hate that.
It drove me through the roof, Marcus.
Yeah, when you run the ball all the way down to the red zone and then you pass from a short distance.
And it gets intercepted right away. What are you doing? you had success all that entire drive coming down the field. You're demoralizing them. You think they're going to stop you all of a sudden?
So stupid.
Run it for three straight plays. I'm not giving Ryan Tannehill the chance to screw that up.
Dumb. But yeah, Ryan Tannehill had some bad decisions. Like the one to Julio, he was late because he doesn't anticipate. I've always been. He's the same guy from Miami. He just still doesn't anticipate. So he got picked by Jesse Bates. Like, yeah, you can't. If we're in the playoffs, bro, you better anticipate because there's maybe an elite player over there somewhere. Probably somewhere.
Jesse Bates, like, literally started that play going, I know exactly what's coming because I saw this on tape 1,000 times. He didn't even hesitate. Did you see the film on that? He just beelined it right to where that ball was going to be. Don, he knew what was coming.
He's the best safety in football. Chris,
he's impressive.
He ripped the ball out of Zay Jones' hands in midair.
And he's impressive.
He saved the game. The Raiders tied the game on that throw, which is probably the best throw of Carr's life. I can't even fit that ball in. And he ripped it out midair, which I'm still mad at Zay Jones. I was like, man, if we had Jamar Chase, we win that game. He doesn't let that happen. But anyways.
dude, I'm sorry. Tannehill blew that game for him. Good on Joey Burrow for getting Chase the ball. I can't believe they played. They played man with two over the top on that play. It was, 10, 15-yard out?
He ate Janoris Jenkins up, bro. Like, I couldn't. Like Janoris, like, why are you that going back inside? Like,
that was the easiest out route I've ever seen in my entire life to be completed to put you in field goal range. I mean, my brother was texting me. He's like, give Joey Burrow some credit. Give him some credit. For what? Throwing a 15-yard out? Like, he does that in his sleep. The dude does it with his eyes closed. Especially with Chase. They want
to crown Joe Burrow so bad.
Oh.
Like, man, the people are ready to get to this game.
I'm not going to say that I can't give, like, I'll give him some props. Like, the kid's playing, he's playing good football. He's a good player, but I'm not.
He's a good player.
I'm not crowning him. Like, everybody's saying, oh my God, the AFC is going to be amazing next year.
Like, we
Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow's the third best quarterback, Herbert's the fourth. Bro, did everybody forget about Lamar Jackson?
No, he's the fifth now. He's the fifth.
He's the fifth now.
Yeah, he got hurt because he would obviously be in the playoffs if the
Ravens were healthy.
They were eight and three, bro. They had to win two more games.
At any point, if they were healthy, like that entire makeshift offensive line, the literal zero running backs, because all three of their opening day rostered running backs tore their ACLs. Like, what are we talking about here?
That's the only reason the Bengals are there. It really is. It's the only reason the Bengals are there, and then that's what I'm saying. They got lucky that the Raiders decided the ball bounced off a helmet of a player, and DeSean Jackson dropped a red zone. So that's what I'm saying. The Raiders should, if those two things didn't happen, the Bengals lose to the Raiders. Okay, and then this game,
and then Ryan Tannehill throws three interceptions for no reason.
So to me, the Bengals haven't had a great playoff performance yet. And they're going to have to put together a great one this next one.
Oh my God!
Because they really haven't played great. Because I'm literally, the Raiders did not play them well, and the Raiders had
one of the worst first halves in the playoffs this year.
Exactly, and the Raiders actually
no, not one of they had the worst first half in football playoffs this season.
I know I wasn't bad than the Cardinals. The Cardinals is pretty bad.
All right, the Cardinals is pretty bad too. Yeah. Yeah, that one was worse. Yeah,
the Raiders finished good. I mean, they had a great drive to finish it. It was 20-13.
All right. Okay.
But they gave the Bengals every chance. If the Bengals were as dominant as people act like they are to go into the Chiefs, they would have beat the Raiders like 41-17. Literally, they had every opportunity to do it, but they didn't. You know.
So yeah, they had every. I mean, you get three turnovers against the home team, the number one seed. You should not be kicking a game winning field goal with the time running out.
Exactly. And you know, to talk about Joe Burrow, I mean, it's saying like that's why I can't call him elite, man. I mean, he's getting sacked 9 times, right? And I know it's not all on him.
No, right? not all of it, but there's some of it. Like he's definitely holding that ball longer than he should in some of those situations.
You know what I mean? And
9 like, sacks, Marcus. That was insane.
Yeah, 5 in the first half. Times.
5 in the first half, half, 4 in the second half. That was insane.
And a lot of it, like, you know, and he admits it, like he doesn't care about taking sacks. He's like, some sacks are okay, some sacks are this, but like he got him out of field goal range a couple times,
mm-hmm. trying to, he definitely
trying to,
did.
Avoid, trying to avoid sacks. You know what I'm saying? And Like they had the ball to go win the game before Ryan Tannehill gave him the game, right?
Yes, they had the ball,
and he got sacked a couple times,
and he got kicked out of field goal range. Yes, he did.
Because the thing is,
once for sure.
Because the thing is, the last time the Chiefs decided that they're going to play cover zero, which I still don't. Every time I go back and watch that game, I'm like, why are you guys playing cover zero right now with Jamar Chase over there? And you're with Javarius Ward, like you really like. Is he made a Pro Bowl? I don't understand. so you have your solid corner over there, one on one on the island, with an elite wide receiver playing cover zero. Interesting. And of course, it didn't work. Obviously, so hopefully they don't do that this week. That's like the Chiefs. Like, I don't respect you. Like, ha ha ha. Look at you.
I don't think the Chiefs cared at all about that game in week 17.
Like the Jamar Chase like long run where he like breaks a tackle and goes like 70 yards. Like the two corners from the back, they're like jogging. They're like, come on, this is the
Bengals. I don't think they cared about that game.
And like the Bengals like smoke cigars afterwards. It's gonna be interesting to watch this game. We'll talk about that in a second. But it just hasn't been like the most dominant performances from the Bengals. You know, it's been like some surprise wins.
They've been gutting them out. They've been gutting them out.
I mean, which is, it might That's set good. Them up for this That's big good. Game.
You know, you can win in the clutch moment. That's a good trait. Burrow's definitely got that. I won't fight anybody that say that Joe Burrow won't clutch up.
He's a tough dude. He's tough, man.
He's tough, man.
You know, I'm not gonna knock him for that, but it's just like he's not elite. I mean, if he beats Patrick Mahomes, how does he beat Patrick Mahomes is the main thing before we start crowning them if they beat Patrick Mahomes a certain way, you know what I mean?
I don't see how the Bengals. Well, we'll get there.
All right, let's talk about the Sunday games: Bucks versus Rams.
Now I was on a plane traveling, so I didn't get to watch the game. I got to see a little bit of the first quarter before I boarded my plane, and it looked like all hell broke loose, and everything that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wanted to do just didn't work.
Yeah, so it's basically, I mean, he's missing all his receivers. I mean, AB had his freak out. Chris Godwin is doing ACL, torn ACL, so all he has is Mike Evans. They tried to spread the ball around early, try to get the run game going, but they couldn't stop the Rams. So the Rams was just Matthew Stafford was balling, just going up and down the field on him.
Yeah, that's what
he had one of his best performances that you see, you know, from him in the playoffs. He really showed up. And then they were up 27-3. And then all of a sudden, the rest of the players, I don't know what happened on the Rams, but you know, the Bucks kicked field goal and the Rams gave the ball back, and then it was then the Bucks went and scored. It was 27-13. And then next thing that happens, and the Rams fumble, and then they get the ball back, and then the Bucks go 27-20.
They shut it down. That's what you're saying. The Rams shut it down. They thought they had it in the bag and shut it down.
See, it's different. I talk about this on Twitter. I think it's Tom Brady pressure. I think when Brady's over there, and he scores that touchdown at 27-13, you're like, oh crap.
That's 10 points, Marcus. Like, you're talking about a 10-point swing right there. Before that 10-point swing, they shut it down.
Probably, yeah.
And then when Brady comes back and does his Brady things, then I'll agree with you 100%. Now there's that Brady magic that you're freaking out about, and that mindset kicked in. I'll agree with that 100%, but they shut it down. Like, you can't tell me that they're going to give up 10 straight points like that, and they didn't shut it down.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When it gets 27-20, right? And then, you know, they try to, you know, do a couple, like, run the clock out things, and then they fumble again.
Yeah.
And then it was 27-27. So.
And then Stafford decided to put a – like, what he typically does in that situation is throw the game away, not win it.
That's not true.
He's got a lot of fourth quarter comebacks.
Yeah, he has 33 fourth quarter comebacks.
He does. I'll eat those words. That's not true.
But that game was them calling cover zero with Cooper Kupp at a safety.
Yeah, that's
easy read. Yeah. I'm just gonna lean back and just throw it as far as possible.
And he did. he literally did that. He literally leaned straight back and just threw it up.
You know, just lean back, throw it as far as possible, right into his hands, Matthew Stafford. He's like, he's in the NFC Championship game, man, with Sean McVay. You know, he's got his chance. Can he get to the Super Bowl? But we got to talk about Tom Brady's gonna retire, which I knew was gonna happen with Manning Arena.
You think that this is happening? He's retired.
Yeah, it's a Mandarina, bro. He's
I don't know. I don't think the guy can go out like that.
He is dog. They won't even drop the last Man in Arena episode yet. They're waiting till spring. So he's retiring on that show. I knew it like soon as like I got to the episode, and then the episode before it, I was like, oh,
I'm retiring. You think he says in the last episode, I'm retiring?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Wow.
He's going to talk about everything. He's about why he left. I mean, that episode's going to have why he left, why he got, you know, why he chose the Bucks, you know, his last Super Bowl.
Okay.
And, you know.
Okay.
You know, to be honest, though, what I think this is why I think he pushed it back. This is why I would say this. I think he thought he was going to the Super Bowl again. So he had it set up because it was kind of set up for him to like be like right here at the AFC Championship game when the last one came out, the Super Bowl. And I think he looked around at his wide receiver room and he was like, you know,
I'm not getting there.
Let's push it back to spring.
Oh, I like where your head's at with all that, man.
Yeah, I just realized I've been texting my brother. My brother did not believe me. I've been texting him since like episode 6. I'm like, bro, he's retiring. 100%. He's retiring.
Interesting.
He was like, what? No way. Like, bro, this is a retirement doc. This is what this is. This is a retirement documentary. He's retiring. And I was like, and you know, I still think the Raiders are cursed because of the Tuck rule. And the Raiders made the playoffs. He's retiring. They won 4 in a row. His retirement's coming.
Oh, you think you're gonna break the curse?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know, bro. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Since the Tuck rule, they made the playoffs 3 times.
Wow.
Before that, bro, they never went a season. They never went more than 2 seasons without missing the playoffs. The Raiders ever. In the history of the Raiders, they never went 2 seasons without missing the playoffs before that.
Very, very interesting, sir.
I'm just saying something, you know, and then there's the whole time. The Raiders are 12-4. They're about to win the division with the Chiefs and broken leg.
Yeah. Yeah.
Derek Carr's having the best season of his life, his best wide receiver. Boom, car crash, coaches fired. Not Tom's leaving. I'm just saying. But yeah, I think Tom's gone. Which I was looking at my quarterback list, bro. If Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers retires, and it gets really weird.
Oh, really dude, weird. I don't even want to have that conversation.
I don't know who's going to be 5.
I'm not ready.
I'm like, who's 5?
I'm not even ready for that conversation.
Who's 5?
I can't believe we're going to put some people in the top 10 that we're going to put in the top 10.
I have to. I don't know who else. I was looking at it. I was like, oh, my God.
Dude, it's about to get really weird. It's about to get really weird.
That's why they're trying to find an elite guy. Because they know the elite guys are leaving. He's elite. Look at him. He's young in the AFC Championship game. He has to be. He has to be.
We need him.
He's young. He's there. Like, what about next year, bro? What about next year? What if the Bengals go 7-10 next year? It could happen.
Yeah.
Well, they could lose Jesse.
Okay. Here's my equivalent. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
What is Joe Burrow doing that Baker Mayfield didn't do?
Wear cool sunglasses.
It's the same thing. You're drafted as the number one. Here comes the guy that is going to change the franchise, and he does it. Baker put the Browns back on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're relevant. Now people are saying there are 10 games, like they should be winning 10 games a year. Baker brought it back, and he took them into Kansas City. Yeah. He took them to Kansas City, and they almost beat the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And now everybody's killing him because he tore his shoulder and should have been out for the season since week 2, but he played through it. So now his name isn't anywhere to be seen, and everybody's already given up on him.
Mm-hmm. Trying to trade him.
So, I mean, yeah, Joe Burrow's – he came in. He had a great first season here. He's brought them into the playoffs. They're going to play the Chiefs. Are they going to beat the Chiefs? I don't think so. What's the difference between him right at the end of the season and Baker Mayfield?
Nothing.
Nothing.
All right, let's get to the game of the week, which is the ridiculous matchup.
That was out of control.
nuts. That's the start of the if you don't have one of these guys, like these guys just like are just they just come from out of nowhere. There's five of them in the draft coming. There's five, 6'5", 250-pound guys that run 4.7s coming out right now. They come out every single year.
Josh Allen is on a hot streak, let me tell you.
Great, Chris. I think you got to give him the elite title.
No, Marcus.
You got to do it. Has
he played in an AFC championship game?
He has. He's played in one.
They were in the AFC championship game last year.
There's got to be at least two tier one quarterbacks, right? I mean, that's where we're at this point. I mean, we're cutting.
There's two
tier one guys getting cut. There are, because I have a feeling Rodgers is going to retire. I think he's a little pissed of how the media is treating him. He doesn't like how the media doesn't love him anymore. They used to love him and make every excuse for him, and now they're not. So because let's just say he didn't have the vaccine stuff, we would be blaming Alan Lazard. People say he probably would have dropped it anyways because he's not a first rounder. Because we love Aaron Rodgers, but we don't love him anymore. Now we're bringing up all his problems that he's always had. But
I gotta pause you real quickly here.
Yes.
When did he play in the AFC Championship game?
Last year against the Chiefs. They got their butts kicked. Remember?
That was in the AFC Championship game?
Yeah, 38-13. They got their butts kicked.
I mean, I remember them getting their butts kicked, but I didn't remember that being the AFC Championship game.
Yes, it was. They beat the Colts, they beat the Ravens, and he's playing the AFC Championship game. So he's playing a wild card, he's playing the AFC Championship game, and then I mean, he lost to the Jags, so he had to play.
He had to play on the road.
He had to play on the road. Yeah. in a divisional game.
Yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes. But I mean, what did I tell you? He's been really, really good in the playoffs.
He had a great two games. Like
awesome in two games.
Like that's
because we're talking about Joe Burrow. They're talking about Joe Burrow being elite, but Josh Allen is literally carrying like the whole carry and the thing. Like
yeah.
He can actually do that because if you know,
well, he did it for two games in the playoffs. He did it when he needed to. I need a repeat performance. I got to see this. I need consistency.
Patriots game in this. Chris, it's been 3 years, man. It's been 3 years of consistency.
Hold on. No, it's been – he had last year was his
– Okay.
Last year was his show-up year.
Yes.
This year was a regression during the regular season. He regressed in the regular season.
He did regress
in the regular season. He balled out in the playoffs.
Okay.
I need another year.
I don't know. I'm not
calling him elite. I need another year. Give me the consistency, especially if I'm not going to have Brady and Rodgers next year. I need another year. It's
regular season consistency with somebody who's on a great team like that, really,
Marcus,
truly
Marcus,
equal he, elite quarterback. I mean,
he tied his season high for interceptions.
Okay, he did.
I think he beat it, actually. I think he set a new season high in interceptions.
Yeah, he had 18 turnovers this year, yeah.
That's a lot of turnovers.
He takes a lot of chances.
That's not elite.
I don't know, Chris. I don't know.
I need to see another year of him doing what he did in the playoffs.
I think what happened this year is that I think after the Tampa game,
it clicked for him.
And I think we're going to see that player going forward.
Good. I would love to.
So I'm going to go there. I'm going to put in my tier one of the quarterbacks.
Wow.
Because at this point I have to, and then two. Because
tier one can be just one dude. That's okay.
I don't know.
Tier one can be just one dude.
Because where I'm leaning my tier one, I'm still gonna keep Russell in there, because wow. I think he has the resume and he's a Hall of Famer. So it's kind of like, and come on, they finished 7-10. They were 2-6. You know, they finished 7-10. Which tells you if he played the whole season, they would have made the playoffs. Somebody else would have, like the Eagles wouldn't have been there. It would have been the Seahawks. You know what I mean?
They would have gotten their regular 10 wins. They would have been
10-7.
Nonsense.
So he's still up there, I think. But like, but after him, it's like a cluster, bro. Like, it's like, who do you like more? It's like a personality thing. I just like he wears better sunglasses. You know, after that, it's all preference. It's like, who do you like? But, you know, I really thought he showed himself to be that upper echelon quarterback. But what's going to happen with all this top five AFC QB guys? And it's like, you got to beat Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how easy that is. It's not easy.
No,
obviously,
clearly.
Clearly, it's not, because I'm sure Josh Allen, when he was screaming at his teammates and after he threw that touchdown and he was like hyped, they all thought they're. I mean, come on,
dude. It's quite literally a coaching mistake. That's why they're not in the AFC Championship game.
Is it a coaching mistake? Or two legendary players?
Why didn't you squib it? Why are you kicking that in the end zone?
Because I mean,
Marcus, that would have taken bare minimum 4 seconds off the clock.
It seems that simple,
bare
right?
minimum.
But 13 seconds.
13 seconds. That's it. Should never have played out the way timeouts, that it did. Though.
They should have squibbed it because even then, you know, if they squib it, right? I mean, nobody. The clock doesn't start.
It'll be nine seconds.
The clock doesn't start until somebody touches the ball. So what if they squib it into the end zone?
No, you don't let it squib into the end zone.
I see. That's tough. And then what do you?
No, it's not. No, it's not. They do. They practice that stuff.
Check me out. Like, okay, if you squib it too soft and I pick it up at the 40-yard line, then, you know, I don't know that. That squib.
No, you can squib it. You can squib it to the 20. You can squib it to the 20. They do it all the time. I get it. It's Mahomes, but you've taken 4 seconds off the clock. He can't do it in 9 seconds.
I see. I don't know about that.
He can get one of those plays off and get him into Hail Mary zone, but you're not getting him down. Like, they ran three plays because they had time for three plays and three timeouts.
Yeah, that's true.
If you squib it, there's only time for two plays. So then they throw a Hail Mary because they got one timeout left, and there's no time for another play.
See, everything that game is over. When I saw it was three timeouts, and then they didn't squib, and like the 13 seconds, I'm like, oh my god! Oh,
I was right there with you.
I mean, he's getting a field goal.
That was a big that was a big fat oh no.
I'm like, he's getting a field goal,
and I'll tell you what, he's got some smart teammates too. Did you see the mic'd up of Kelce?
He told
Tyreek Hill, step outside, then come back underneath me, and I can get some space for you. And he did. And then he was paying attention to what the defense was doing. And he told Patrick after they called the timeout, hey, if we get that same look, the seam's wide open. What'd they get? They got the same look. And you hear Patrick going, Kelce, do it. He literally said that at the line of scrimmage. Kelce, do it. He was going there the entire time because of what Kelce saw. So that's a phenomenal team. They put it together in 13 seconds. You know what kills me? You know what makes it just funnier? They got into field goal range in 13 seconds. Dak Prescott can't run the ball and spike it in 13 seconds.
I saw that. Mahomes, he balled at 378 yards.
Dude, he's just
– we figured out Mahomes. Remember that, bro?
I remember that.
How far away are we from that? Mm. He's been figured out. So they're 3-4. They've lost one game since then. All right. So, I mean, there's not much to say about Patrick Mahomes. We're going to transition to, these games, this conference.
Previewing. Games.
Preview. We got Chiefs versus Bengals as a late-night game. I just think the Bengals were dancing. I know they won the division. Okay, I get it. They won the division. They're dancing, but like the videos with the cigars.
The Chiefs don't like it when you dance on their logo. You think that they're not going to like smelling that cigar smoke in the visiting locker room?
What did Joe Burrow say? It's nowhere as loud as a college stadium I played at. Dog, this isn't Tennessee, bro. This isn't Tennessee. This is Arrowhead in the playoffs.
This is Arrowhead in January.
And Marty Schottenheimer's not the coach. So that's not going to, you know. I don't think he should have said that.
I think the line's 7 the last I saw, and I'm very tempted to take the Chiefs and the points.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're too cocky. The Bengals are too cocky.
Well, they've earned the swag that they have. They've earned it, but this is like, if they think that they actually played the Chiefs in Week 17, you got to think they know better. You got to think that they know better.
They don't, though. They're young. I mean,
if they pull it off, I will eat my words all day.
If Joe Burrow pulls this off, I will eat my words all day.
The Chiefs don't win against the spread. They just don't cover. They're covering. They're covering in the AFC Championship game at home. After what they did against Buffalo, they're covering.
Raiders fans hate that I love Patrick Mahomes, so they get mad at me. But I'm gonna repeat this once again. Patrick Mahomes is 8-2 in the playoffs. It's only two losses.
Tom Brady.
And I'll say this again. Tom Brady said that one of his best wins of his career was beating Patrick Mahomes in Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm.
He said he never had one of the most exciting wins. He threw his helmet in the air. So if that tells you how good Patrick Mahomes is, or how much Tom Brady respected him, and he saw them as like a litmus test for how good he still is.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is not just a normal average guy. Like I don't understand how people.
We can't treat him like the bar either. He's abnormal.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like Todd McShay did his Patrick Mahomes taught me how to look at scout quarterbacks differently. He shouldn't have.
No.
He's a freak, bro. Like that's
you how just you accept get you accept the one offs. You accept the one offs.
He's just a generational freak.
Mm-hmm.
Like Zach Wilson didn't even do anything he did in college. That's what I don't even want to hear. I don't want to hear any of these guys are like him because they're not. And that's the problem. Especially when they try to make other quarterbacks to be like him, because this dude has like the best vision of any quarterback like outside the pocket. Like he sees everything. Outside the pocket. That's how he's able to see these guys that normal people wouldn't see, right? Like it's not.
And then not only seeing it, but having the incredible arm strength to be able to make some of those throws, which are quite literally across his body from one sideline to the other sideline. Like the stuff that you just like. There's coaches that say don't do it, and you as a quarterback go, whatever. I got the arm strength. I can do it. You don't even have to tell him not to do it because. He doesn't even need to go, whatever, I got the arm strength. You already know that throws in his wheelhouse, and it's not the most dangerous throw. Now, don't get me wrong. I was all over him with some of the potential carelessness, and we saw a little bit of it. He got way into his head at the beginning half of the season, and it affected him, and he made those careless throws. Mm-hmm. But if he's dialed in and he's cooking the way that he has been cooking the last few weeks
–
some of those throws aren't dangerous throws anymore.
No, he's playing from the pocket too. He's not forcing it deep anymore, which is what they all did. They made him play too high. They played too high. They backed up and they tried to like play quarterback. And he struggled for a little bit. And then he started playing quarterback. And he's like, "Wow, I don't have to run."
Yeah, like
now it's over for all of us. We should have just kept playing single high, and then play too high in the playoffs. That's what they should have did. They should let him throw 50 touchdowns in the regular season. And then we get to and then we wait. Let's wait. But now we're all in trouble. Because now you play too much too high, he starts running on you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because he's still young enough and healthy enough to be able to do that stuff too.
God.
I saw this thing on Twitter. He's got this he works with this this speed and technique company.
Yeah.
A company, they're a workout group, but they're focused on speed, and they talk about not like the straight line speed, that 40 speed, but then they talk about the game speed, mm-hmm. and they focus their efforts on improving game speed and how you run when you're turning, when you're literally in the middle of running in a circle. And Patrick Mahomes runs as fast. The stat was he runs. In straight line speed, they compared his running in circle speed. He runs at 103% of his straight line speed when he's running circles. Dude can keep the same speed running in circles than he can when he's running a straight line. That doesn't happen, Marcus. That is not real.
Yeah, he's telling me he's an incredible talent. And you know what I'm saying? That's why I don't like them calling people elite. All the time and try to compare it. Like Joe Burrow, does Joe Burrow look like him? Then no. Exactly. Does Joe Burrow is just what I'm saying, like Patrick Mahomes at certain points is just unstoppable. And that's why I was talking about Josh Allen, because that's how I feel like sometimes, and I think Josh Allen started to figure out that he can be unstoppable. And that's the scary part. That's why I think he's figured that out. That I you, wait a second.
I want to see it, Marcus.
You can't stop me, though.
Give it to me next year. Show me.
All right. He's like, if I don't want to be stopped, you can't. That's what Patrick Mahomes is. Like Joe Burrow can't take over a game like that. Like, he's not like the – could be like – I mean, Jamar Chase can.
Mm-hmm.
Who's probably the X factor in this game. I mean, they can't stop Jamar. It's not going to matter. I mean, Joe Burrow's going to – you know, it's going to be tough. But I just don't see him – I don't see Patrick Mahomes letting Joe Burrow beat him, just like he didn't let Josh Allen beat him.
Agreed.
You know, he didn't let Joe Burrow beat him.
Completely agreed.
And all right, so, and it's at home, and it's gonna be super loud just because Joe Burrow said that. So, all right, next game.
I don't even want to talk about this game, Marcus. Packers beat both of these teams in the regular season. Packers swept the NFC West. Like, Packers swept the AFC North. Like, the Chiefs were the only team that beat them. So I'm like,
we're never gonna get Mahomes Rodgers, man. We're never gonna get it.
Drive me through the roof. I don't even want to talk about this game.
I do.
Go Jimmy G.
I think the Niners are going to win this game.
Well, good.
I think the Niners are going to win this game. The reason why, I mean, Kyle Shanahan's 6, I think he's at 6-0, 7-0 against Sean McVay.
He's got McVay's number. Dude, he's got McVay's number. He's got LaFleur's number. Like, that's what happens. That's what happens when you end up, like, they're all boys. Like, there's always one guy in your group that just always beats you, man. He always wins every single time. And then he's in your head. And then he's that guy for this group.
Because one of the things, probably the difference between McVay and maybe even difference between LaFleur, I'm not sure. I don't know how LaFleur works. Maybe you could answer this more than me. I think, you know, Shanahan's, I think he's more involved in the defensive game plan. I think he's more of a head coach.
You think so?
He is. I think McVay's like Gruden, because Gruden is like, I do offense. I do the offense game plan. Paul Gunther, you, Chance, you got that. You know, that's okay. That type of guy. I think Shanahan's more involved. So Shanahan will come and he could talk to DeMeco Ryans. Like,
well, I'll bet, especially against McVay, because he knows McVay. He knows his tendencies. They talked about this stuff when they were all in Washington.
Because the thing about this, you know, and maybe McVay does this. I don't know. But I think McVay just hires really good coordinators. That's what he does. He, like, he had Brandon Staley, had Wade Phillips, and now he has Raheem Morris. So he doesn't have to worry about that, right? Shanahan doesn't have those type of guys. Shanahan has DeMeco Ryans, right? So and Shanahan.
Yeah, well, DeMeco Ryans is getting head coaching interviews. And Robert Salas, he's a head coach now. So it's. He's got guys that know what they're doing on that side of the ball. But you're right. They probably do have a conversation. They probably do.
Yeah, they probably have a deeper conversation. I mean, because they always play good defense. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a little bit of a coach, too. Like, a coach who cares about everything, they usually have better teams, right? Mm-hmm. You know, even Belichick helps with the offensive game plan, right? He helps come up with that.
Mm-hmm.
Which a head coach should do. That's why I don't like, how what Gruden does with the whole I do offense, you do defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I don't think it works like that. I think you are the head coach. You got to approve the game plan.
Yeah.
You got to approve it. Like, if you don't approve of the game plan, then they got to change it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so,
well, Belichick definitely did that stuff. No, we're not doing that.
Exactly. And that's what any coach should do to me. Yeah. I think Shanahan, that's why he has his number. I think that's why he has LaFleur's number a little bit too, because he knows.
They're boys, man. They were in each other's weddings. Like, they just know the inner workings of each other. So it makes sense. It makes total sense.
And while LaFleur is, in the meeting room and watching tape with Rodgers, Shanahan's in there with DeMeco Ryans watching tape, probably. I bet this.
Probably. And he'll tell you exactly what LaFleur is going to run in what situations.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that's happened. I guarantee you.
Especially
when LaFleur's brother was in San Francisco and Robert Salas, his best man at his wedding.
You don't think
Shanahan remembered all those conversations?
Yeah. This could be a good game, though, but I think the Niners pull it out. And
I would love to see that. Let's get Jimmy G in the Super Bowl. Let's toss that Patrick, we need a quarterback Patrick Holmes narrative.
Jimmy G.
Part two.
Bro, who's the real rival? Peyton versus Tom. We're really getting it. You know, really getting it. Too bad Jimmy's not 25 and can't become great later on. I think he's like 32 or something. He's pretty old.
I don't think he's that old yet.
I think he has to be like 31, bro. He's pretty
old. No way. I bet you he's in his late 20s still.
No, because Derek Carr's 31. They came out the same year.
Did they?
Yeah.
Did they really? Has it been that long?
It's been that long, yeah. Wow. So, yeah. He's hitting the – so say Jimmy G's in his quarterback prime and not good. So that's what's interesting. Like, he likes – I mean, because even like Stafford, hey, Carr, hey, Stafford and Carr were like average as like young quarterbacks. But now, they hit 30 and then they became like good veteran quarterbacks. Like Stafford and Carr, good veteran quarterbacks. Like Jimmy G's 31, man. Like, there's no excuse for him. He should be better than he is.
I mean, I think he's played his best season ever.
No, his best season ever was when they went 13-3. That was his best season.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But that's just fun. That's what I'm saying. That's how I know he's not good, because he's 30 and he's like
trying to throw pick sixes every week.
Yeah, he's still late with the ball. Like him and Tannehill. Tannehill on that pick, man, that was inexcusable, bro. How long you been in the league? How long you been running this offense all year?
Yeah. You finally get everybody back. So you can run it the way that you need to run it.
Can't anticipate and then throw a pick because you're late. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Him and Jimmy G have been late their whole careers. Mm. But anyways. All right, Chris, any other last thoughts before we get out of here?
You're going to the Senior Bowl.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to the Senior Bowl. I forgot to get – went too long. I forgot to talk about those quarterbacks. I'm going
that's
to Senior
good,
Bowl.
That's a good week. Little tease for the weekend between the Super Bowl and the Pro Bowl. Or the Pro Bowl week, because nobody cares about the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
maybe we can have a conversation about what you did.
Yeah, probably that Friday when I come back, we can do a show and we can do a little Senior Bowl talk. See if Kenny Pickett can throw a NFL football with those small hands. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. I haven't finished my grade with him.
Okay,
I want to watch him throw the football in person.
You got to see some of that Sam Howell. I think you said too, right?
Sam Howell, yeah. All the short guys are there. All the tiny guys, see how tall they actually are.
Okay.
I'm just tired of short quarterbacks, bro. Just stop. Stop with that.
Okay.
You got Malik Willis there. He's going to be there. So is Carson Strong. And so is Desmond Ridder, who I was a little impressed with. I did a breakdown of him on the TDL channel. He's got some size. I mean, he's like Carson Wentz and Marcus Mariota in a mixture.
Okay. Said. Well, those are two first round draft picks. Did you just add another first rounder to the
No, because I gave him a second round grade.
So, hey, you might have given him a realistic grade, but the NFL is going to take him in the first round.
Maybe. They might. I mean, he has the size. I mean, he's
got to replace Tom Brady. Got to replace Tom Brady in Tampa Bay.
He's 6'4", 215. He's a senior. He runs the West Coast offense, and. Mm-hmm.
And he'll throw 30 interceptions in his first year under Bruce Arians,
probably because I haven't got the full all 22 from 2022 from 2021. I watched a broadcast and I saw some all 22 and he missed a wide open guy in a blitz. So I don't know how he sees the field yet.
Okay, all right.
So we'll find out. So I want to get some all 22 on him before I finish my grade on him. But like Pickett, I've watched all 22, so I really have finished my grade on him, but
he's gonna wait to see him in real life.
That 8 1/4 hands, man. I don't know how that's gonna work. I don't know how it's gonna work.
All right, man. I'm looking forward to what you have to say.
I feel like he's gonna get to the Senior Bowl, and he's gonna get to practice. He's gonna throw in the ball to slip out of his hand a couple times, and Scott's gonna be like, "Interesting." All right, guys. Enough of that. We do a little Senior Bowl talk next week. A little AFC Championship talk. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? We'll do all that fun stuff next week. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter @ALPA_QB1. Check out the new logo on the pages. @ALPA_QB1 on Instagram. Check that out too. So make sure you check out all that good stuff.
Yeah, let us know what you think. You like the new logo? Do you like the podcast? Tell us, people.
Exactly. And a little pocket awareness on Facebook. Follow us there. And then at the Mark John NFL for me, at King Manelos for Chris. Any last thoughts, Chris?
I'm still in denial. I think I'm still phase one. I think it's just denial still.
All right, man. All right, man. All right. So we're out, guys. See you. Peace.